man. The only people in the Bible that got mad about stuff like that was Judas.
That's right.
He's the one that he was the head of the finance committee, you know, and got upset over that stuff. So that's whose company those kind of people are in. And Psalm 138, I want to read a few verses of Scripture. And I already mentioned this. It's awful good to have Brother Billy Williams with us tonight and his wife, former pastor over at Bible Baptist. It's always good to have them when they can come by and be with us. Brother Billy's having health problems, and I sure do sympathize with that, because I know that when you get sick, there's not enough money in the world to buy it back. You can't get it back. You're just sick, and your body's failing. So I sympathize with him, and I think about Miss Linda a lot, and young as she is, having problems. My daddy used to say, son, when your health goes, you don't realize how blessed you've been your whole life until something gets in your body that you can't get out, and it's just there. So let's always pray for those that are sick and those that are elderly, because we're headed that way. Amen. We're going to get old someday if we're lucky. You get that? If you ain't lucky, then you'll be out in the graveyard. So, but we are glad to have Brother Billy here with us tonight. Brother Billy might jump up and have a shouting spell here in a little while. I hope so. I told y'all this the other night. Some of y'all wasn't here, but me and Brother Sam and families up in upstate of South Carolina last year, and I was preaching up there, and there's a boy in a wheelchair. He's in his 20s, and he's got one of them little electric jobs. And he started shouting and got in such a way he couldn't take a running spell, so he took off down the aisle in that wheelchair getting it. Man, it looked like a GTO coming out of the chute, didn't it? I mean, it just looked like flames coming out the back. Boy, he got him a blessing. All right, now what we're going to talk about tonight is the Word of God. I believe with all my heart, now next weekend we're going to have a lot of preachers. There's not going to be anybody here that's going to preach here that don't use the real Bible. I don't have any problems talking about that, because that's a conviction in my heart. And a conviction is something you'll die for. I will never, you'll never hear down the road, you'll never hear 10 years from now or 20 years from now that Brother Ronnie changed his views on the King James Bible. I'll never change on that. Never. I might change my preferences or my eating habits or my taste or my ideas about certain things. When it comes to this book, I'll never change on that. Never. I'll never, never change. I'm so convinced this is the Word of God, I stake my life and my eternal destiny on this book. If I thought there's one verse in here that wasn't right, brother, I'd throw it down. I'd never preach another lick. But there ain't nothing wrong with it. I've been preaching all these years. My daddy was a Baptist preacher my whole life. And daddy left here a Baptist preacher, loving God, loving his family. And I've been preaching for 32 years. And I hear all these people make these smart remarks how there's mistakes in the King James Bible. But I ain't never met one of them guys that can actually open a Bible and point it out to me. I know there's places in the Bible that's difficult and hard to understand. I understand that. But there ain't nobody showed me no mistakes in the Bible. And by the way, there ain't nobody going to show you any mistakes in the Bible either. There'll be preachers that'll get up and say, well, a better rendering would be, you automatically tune him out and don't listen to him anymore. A man like that is setting himself up in judgment of the Word of God. He is a hireling and a heretic. I wouldn't listen to him. I wouldn't listen 5 minutes to a man that would say, well, the Bible, what it really means. In other words, you went to school 4 years and you think you know more about the Bible than the great scholars in the 1600s. No, I ain't buying that. What you're doing is making a pope out of yourself and saying the laity don't know how to interpret the Bible, but I do, so you've got to depend on me. I'm so glad we have the King James Bible, and it's the book, brother, for common man. I believe anybody can read it. Anybody can understand it. I'm convinced the parts that people don't understand is not what they got a problem with. What they have trouble with is what they do understand. Amen? And brother, this Bible is crystal clear. It's God's Word from kimber to kimber, as old mountain men said. He said, I believe it from generation to revolution. Amen? I even believe the maps in the back, don't you? I believe every word of it. I don't like all of it sometimes because it slaps you around, don't it? But brother, I believe it's God's Word. Thank God for it. I love it. I appreciate it. Everybody I've ever met that loved God, loved the Bible, and loved good old-fashioned, hide-ripping, foot-stomping, I mean hell-raising preaching, brother. I'll tell you, brother, real preaching will always get the job done. It'll help you when you're at your lowest. Brother, Brother, when you're at your highest, it'll chop you down the side. Brother, when you're humble, it'll lift you up. And when you're too proud, it'll knock you down. Brother, I say it'll knock the sin out of your life. And it'll straighten you out when you're crooked. And brother, it'll do everything for you that needs to be done. If you'll just read it and believe it and trust it and do what it says and lean not to your own understanding. Psalm 138 said this, I will praise thee with my whole heart, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God said, my word is even more. Hey, he said, I magnify my word above my own name. You know what Peter said? He said, we was up on the mount and he said, we heard a voice. And we saw Christ transfigured. And there they were. We saw Moses and Elijah talking. That's the two end time prophets that's coming back. It's not Enoch and Elijah. I'll tell you, talk to you about that later. But it'll be Moses and Elijah come back. And he was standing there talking to him. And Peter said, we saw that great, wondrous, mighty miracle. But he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He said, we've got something better than eyewitness account. We've got the blessed, inspired, written, recorded, and preserved word of Almighty God. I want to tell you, brother, this month there's nothing like it. God will honor His word. I want to preach on this a minute tonight when God's word's lifted up. He said, I lift my word up above my own name. Now here's what I believe. You can believe what you want to. I believe the reason, the main reason that God is blessing our church is because of that book right there. I won't believe nothing else, brother. We got good music. Lord knows we do, and I'm proud of it. I'm thankful. I'm not proud in a wicked way, but I'm just thankful to see our kids get up here and sing and raise their hands and rejoice and God moving their life. But brother, I want to tell you what God looks down from heaven and makes Him smile. As brother, we're us waving this blessed old book I have in my hand, it's wonderful, it's great, it's true from end to end. And brother, God, when His word is lifted up, He'll do some things. I believe that's why God's blessing Grace Baptist Church. And brother, when we start tampering with the word of God, then God is going to go somewhere else and go down the road. And brother, that's exactly why we don't have the power of God in our churches anymore. I want to tell you something tonight. When God's word's lifted up, number one, it'll refresh the feeble. Look at verse number 3. He said, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Here was a man that's speaking of being feeble. Listen, next weekend we'll have church, and we'll have church for about 3 days, and people will come, and some people come to be a blessing, and some will come and get a blessing. But brothers, no doubt in my mind, I've seen this thing happen over the years in my life and in my ministry. There's always, and sometimes you don't know who it is, but sometimes, many, many times, there'll be people come to the meeting, and they'll come, spiritually speaking, they'll come limping and dragging and crawling, just barely going to get here. That's why we want to help people get here, Brother Sam. There ain't no telling what God might do in somebody's life. There might be a preacher that's going to come to this meeting, and he's this close to quitting. He's this close to bailing out, throwing in the towel, and just throw up the white flag and surrender, and just throw it all away. There might be a married couple coming, and they've already been talking about divorce, and maybe their marriage and their family is about to fall apart, and they're just thinking in their mind, if I can get up there to that meeting, and we can just get to the meeting where they're having church, just maybe God will do something. You know why I know that's true? Because you're looking at somebody, brother. I've had that happen to me before. Hey, brother, I've waited, and know of a good meeting down the road. If I can just hang on till October, or maybe February, or maybe June, whatever the meeting is, if I can just hang on and hold out and I can get to that meeting and just get up under God's table and get some of the King's food and let that blessed old preacher stand up there, brother, and just tell me what God has. Brother, I will tell you, it'll refresh the feeble. Brother, you might come here feeble with your hands hanging down, but if you'll get here, God's word will lift them up and you can shout praise to God. It'll refresh the feeble. There'll be people come get some help. Now to me and you, we're coming because we're just excited. We want to have a good time. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But there, I guarantee you, with the amount of people that's going to be coming next weekend, there'll be somebody come and their chin's dragging the ground. I've gone to camp meeting before, Brother Billy, maybe you have. I've gone to camp meeting before, drive halfway across the country, and all the way there, debating whether to even resign my church or not, whether to even stay in the ministry, so discouraged and so down. You said, preacher, does preachers get that way? Are you kidding me? Of course they do. Somebody asked one preacher, said, you ever think about quitting your church? He said, every Sunday night about 9 o'clock, I think about quitting. He said, but about Wednesday evening, about 5, I start feeling like preaching again. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Everybody gets that, can't help it once in a while, and you feel like you ain't going to make it, and you just come to church and you're just hanging down and your head's dragging, you ain't got no shout, you ain't got no joy in your soul, and brother, that peace seems to be gone, and you're searching for answers, you don't know what you should do, and you come to a good meeting, brother, where God's word's lifted up. I'm going to tell you, if anybody gets any help next week, it won't be because of me and it won't be because of you, it'll be because that blessed old book has been proclaimed and preached and shouted from the housetop. It'll refresh the feeble. I want people to leave here. I want people to leave here going, ah, man, that was good. Don't you? I want people to leave here going, oh, man, that was good. That gave me what I needed. That was just a spiritual shot in the arm. Brother, listen, that was just a good pick-me-up. That'll help you, brother. It'll refresh the feeble. Nothing will do that like the Word of God. You can go to one of these meetings where they hold hands and sway back and forth and sing Kumbaya and all that stuff. It won't do nothing for you. You know what's happening in our Baptist churches? We don't have the book anymore. We don't have the blessings. So to compensate for it, we bring in a rock band and a dancing group and all kind of other stuff and entertain everybody and fake them into thinking they've been to worship and they leave feeling good, having a good time. Well, you can go to a chicken fight and have a good time and feel good, especially if you want a little bit of money. Amen. They say a rock concert is almost like a religious experience. It is a religious experience. Only problem is, it's a satanic religion. And brother, listen, that's exactly what our churches have turned into. There's no Holy Ghost moving anymore. And He won't move because God will not respond to anything but His Word. You do a little bit of searching, a little bit of church history. There's never been a revival broke out anywhere around the globe that that King James Bible wasn't a part of it. That's what sparks it. You start preaching out of NIV or Bad News for Modern Man or one of them corrupt versions. I mean, they got everything you can think of now. You start preaching out of one of them, it's like a funny book. It's like preaching out of a comic strip or something like that. Like a Charlie Brown comic strip. Ain't no power in it. There's no authority in it. But brother, listen, when you start preaching that King James Bible and you stand on it and you preach it and you proclaim it and you believe it, brother, it speaks with authority and it does something. Brother, it'll spark revival in people's lives. It'll refresh the feeble. Number two, it'll restore the fallen. Look at verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly. That blessed old book, brother, it'll reach down there when you're down that pit we was talking about this morning. You ever felt like you was in the pit before? Here's the thing about it. When you first get saved, you're on the mountaintop and you're shouting, you're like Christmas morning, you know. But then after a while, you hit those slumps and those valleys. And sometimes you feel like you're in a pit. And you feel like you're just falling. You just feel like you're just falling, like the old commercial. I'm falling now, I can't get up. I feel that way sometimes, don't you? But I want to tell you something, bro. When this book, when this blessed word is lifted up and God honors His word, listen, it'll restore the fallen. Listen, there's people sitting here tonight in this service that at one time had fallen and they were out of church and out of the will of God. But brother, nothing less than the word of God picked them up. Nothing in this world will do that. Nothing can change you from the inside out. Brother, rehab and all that other stuff can't do it. Brother, listen, intervention can't do it. Brother, listen, AAA or AA, whatever it is, can't do it. It takes the blessed book. It's pure and it's right and it's clean. And brother, if you'll just do what it says, it'll restore those that are fallen. It'll restore you. Who knows? We may have a meeting next weekend and some people leave here saying, I feel like I've been restored. There's a difference in just going to a meeting and going to a meeting. That sounds funny, don't it? Sometimes you just go to a meeting and go home, and then sometimes you've been to a meeting. Amen? I've been to church. I mean, I've been there. And it did something for me. I know I've told you this years ago when I wasn't pastoring. There's a period of time there that I wasn't pastoring, and the kids were little. And there was a church we went to, and we was getting our soul fed. And that church was 40 miles one way, as hard as you could drive. I mean, it took nearly an hour to get there. We drove Sunday morning, went home, drove back Sunday night, drive home, drive back Wednesday night. Revivals, everything went every service. Now, we passed 100 churches to get to it. But when we got to that church, we walked in and we got on the king's table. And they started serving king food. Amen. And I was getting something, brother. And it sustained me and it helped me and it restored me. Hey, listen, my kids are a little tiny and to this day it's helped them. Listen, get them in the right environment, brother. I can't say, well, I was riding down the road the other day. I was listening to the radio, you know, and this woman came on there and she started, I mean, think about, you know what? It takes more than just a little pepper, Alan. It just takes more than these clever little cliches and pretty music in the background to really restore somebody that's down. Listen, brother, that's like fluff and that's like sugar. That's like stuff sprinkled on top of ice cream, brother. Yeah, I mean, it's not got any meat in it. There's nothing solid that you can sink your teeth into that'll restore you when you're down.
Amen.
But look at verse 3. I probably made half of you mad, but you ought to be mad if you believe that way. Amen. Verse number 7, He refreshed the feeble, restored the fallen. But number 3, He'll revive the fearful. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. He said, I'm in trouble. He said, I'm down. Not only am I feeble and fallen, but I'm fearful. He said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm down. I'm in trouble. But God said, this blessed word will revive those that are fearful.
Amen.
You ever had a fearful time in your life? You didn't feel like you're going to pull through, didn't feel like he's going to make it, didn't know what he's going to do, didn't know which end is up, didn't know what. You know, it takes something special and supernatural to help you when you're fearful, when you're afraid. Brother, listen, just a pat on the back and those clever little things just don't do it. But brother, listen, there's something about this book right here. Y'all heard me say this a while back when I was preaching. I mean, the old as I am now, I mean, I'm way up in my 30s or better. And to this day, brother, this book gives me comfort. When I'm down and I'm fearful, it'll revive me. And it gives me what I need. Listen, brother, the word revive means to bring something back to life. The Bible said it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll revive you. Preacher, I'm just afraid. You watch the news a little bit and you will be afraid. But if you'll read this, you got nothing to be afraid of. The righteous are going to make it. We're going to win. Matter of fact, it's already won. The victory's already won. And I want to say number 4. Look at verse 7. Though in the midst of trouble thou wilt revive me, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. He'll reward the faithful. I want them to sing that song, Carried to the Table. I know I didn't preach long tonight, but I preached long enough what God said to preach. He'll reward the faithful. Faithful means just to stay with it and keep going, whether you feel it or not, whether it makes sense or not. That's one of the hardest things to get people in church work to do nowadays. The hardest thing to do is get people saved. The second hardest thing to do is keep those that are saved coming to church. That's crazy. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life, Brother Billy. I've been preaching. I know you've been preaching a little bit longer than me, maybe a lot longer. But there used to be a time people get saved and get in there and got them a good dose and they'd stick. Now people get in there and get them a good dose in 6 months, you don't know where they're at. Not just church, with marriages and jobs. People's not faithful in anything. People don't stick with nothing anymore. Amen? But he said, if you'll be faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. And when he said, someday if we live right and do right and stay with it, that someday we'll get to hear these words, welcome, enter thou in thy good and faithful servant. He didn't say good and talented or special in all these other ways, but just faithful. I've said this a million times, if I had it. Well, the greatest asset somebody can say about you, if somebody called for a job reference, y'all put your preacher down. Let me give him a reference for you. I'll tell him about you. Man won't come to church once a week. He can come work 5 days a week. That's for sure. Preach it, brother. Greatest asset a person can have is if they're faithful. Just dependable. I don't know if he's smart. I don't know if he knows his left hand was right. But he'll be there every day. Praise God for that. I'd like to have a church full like that. I wouldn't mind having a church full of Indians, don't know nothing, instead of having a bunch of chiefs that wants to run it. Amen? And if you got somebody that's faithful, brother, that's a quality and that's a character trait you just don't see anymore. And the Bible said God is going to reward us. We're getting toward the end of this thing. Have you noticed? This thing's winding down. We're getting ready to get snatched out of here, brother, any minute. And those that are faithful is going to get a special reward. Someday you'll stand before the Lord and say, Preacher, I don't sing, I don't preach, I don't do none of those things. You just stay faithful, you're going to get a reward. He's going to grant you a special reward for being faithful. And then when you get to meet Jesus, you get to present that to Him. Here's what people say. Well, I don't want any rewards. I'll just be happy to be there. That's not true. You're not happy just to be here, are you? How come you want a house and a car? You get a car, you want a truck too. You get a truck, you want a boat to follow behind it. You think you're going to be different up there? You don't get to heaven and say, I'm just happy to be here. I don't want nothing. If that's true, if that's how you feel, go live under a bridge tonight. So I'm just happy to be alive. I don't want no food. I don't want any shelter. I don't need a bathroom. I'll just stay out here in the wilderness. See, people think that sounds spiritual, but it don't. It sounds dumb. Why would you want to meet Jesus and have nothing? Spent your life doing nothing. And face Him and meet Him and kneel His feet and have absolutely nothing. Why would you want to marry a woman and be engaged to her for a year and not have anything to give her? No wedding present. No ring. No nothing. That's right. Marriage supper's coming up, brother. What do you think the judgment seat of Christ is all about? It's all about rewards. It ain't about seeing if you're saved or not. You already know if you're saved or not.
Amen.
I want to be able to at least be faithful enough that when He says, come, my good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Let's stand tonight while they sing a song. Now listen, this song right here talks about being carried to the table. It talks about Mephibosheth. And this is what the Word of God will do to you. It'll feed you.
Amen.
Even though you don't deserve it, even though you're down, you're feeble, you're fallen, you're fearful, and all those things, it'll give you what you need in time of trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your blessed Word and for what it means. We know that Your Word will do things that nothing else can. I pray that You'd bless this invitation tonight. For it's in Your name we pray. Without anybody looking tonight, would anybody slip up their hand and say, Preacher, I know I'm not saved. I want you to pray for me. Would you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to say anything to you. I won't embarrass you.
Forsaken, I was shattered by the fall. Broken and forgotten, feeling lost and all alone. Summoned by the King into the Master's court. Lifted by the Savior, cradled in His arms. Was carried to the table, seated where I don't belong, carried to the table, swept away by His love. I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of my Lord, carried to the table, the table of the thoughts of fear, wondering why He called my name. Am I good enough to share this cup? This world has left me lame. Even in my weakness, the Savior called my name. In His holy presence, I am healed and unashamed. Seated where I don't belong, carried to the table, swept away by His love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore. Seated at the table of my Lord, carried to the table, the table of the Lord.